All right, we're going to start the show. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, I'll tell you from the beginning, so don't get too close to me today.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Actually, I lied, I'm feeling just fine. I was just going for your
sympathy. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Oh, boy. Hey, what's up? Welcome to the program. My name is Bucky... That's Ron Van Dam. I was trying to make up a name so you wouldn't know who I was, but I think you know who I am, so what's the point? Hi, how are you? How are you doing? Good to see you. You're looking nice. What, did you lose weight? You smell good. You clean up nice. How was your Mother's Day? Did you receive lots of cards and lots of flowers and lots of plants and someone take you out to dinner or cook for you or change your diaper? How was your day yesterday? It was a day that we honor women every woman is honored on Mother's Day. Whether you're a mother or not, you could be. You got the uterus, so... You could be a mother. You probably had one. I assume everybody's had a mother, unless you were immaculately conceived, which means you were conceived on perfectly clean bed sheets, perfectly clean, immaculate made bed, immaculately made. Unless you were born in a manger, such as I, there are not many people born in mangers. I was one of them, to be honest with you. That or my mother was mangy. I don't know the difference between the two. At all. I have no concept between two different thoughts whatsoever. That's difficult for me. I never learned that in school. Ron, here's how you take two thoughts and you put them together. Never learned that. They never bothered to teach me. And I kept asking. I said, when are you going to teach me how to put two thoughts together? They said, we're not going to do that. That's it's too much. We don't think you'll comprehend anyway. So why even waste the time? I remember in math class, 2 + 2 = 5. I knew that was what that was about. I didn't do very well in grade school. Excuse me for talking about myself, but you're not really here. I'm the only person in the room right now, so I'm going to go for it. I didn't care about learning when I was young. I really had no want or need. All I wanted to do was look out the window of the classroom, look at the trees. We were on the second floor. I couldn't even see the ground, so it was just trees I was looking at. Once in a while, a bird would sit on a branch and leave, and that's what I did for 12 years. It was not really much. I should have become a weather forecaster because that's about all I was looking at when I looked out the window. Oh, it's cloudy. Oh, it's sunny. Oh, there's a lot of clouds. Ooh, it looks like it's a little windy out. I should have become a meteorologist. And I could have, by the way, only I didn't do well in school. So that was kind of like working against myself. You know what I'm saying? I was a horrible, horrible student. My worst subject was history. I could not do history. I hated history because I didn't really care about what happened. I didn't care about what happened yesterday, to be honest with you, much less what happened 200 years ago or centuries ago. Screw that. How does that affect me? What does it say about me? Well, Ron, you know, you probably had ancestors that go back to the Civil War. Yeah, but I didn't know them, and I wasn't born yet, so what the hell do I care? Oh, yeah, but Ron, the fact that you are lazy might have to do with your ancestry. Maybe you had a lazy relative 500 years ago. Yeah, chances are if you go back that far, you're going to find a relative that was probably lazy. To me, that's like, what do you call that stupid stuff with the Sagittarius and the Leo and the Cancer and the... By the way, man, what a horrible name for a group of people that were born in a certain month. You call them Cancer? I mean, do you understand what Cancer is? You shouldn't tag a whole people month of people that were born as Cancers. Was that July or something? Don't call them Cancers. They're not cancerous. Change that name. My God. Ugh. Astrology, I believe, is what... Astrology is the stuff where you tell people things about themselves that aren't really true. That's astrology. Astronomy is stuff where you tell people stuff about the universe that isn't really true. That's astronomy. I happen to believe in astronomy more than I do astrology. Astrology is, I don't know. I hate to say this out loud, but I think astrology is for Trump supporters, and here's why. It's because you'll believe anything that's told to you. That's comes under that broad category. I can't get into astrology simply because I was born in a certain month. Don't define me. You don't know me. You don't know me. I wasn't even on a Jerry Springer show. You don't even know me. You don't know me. Don't tell me about my attributes and my foibles when you don't even know me. You don't know me. Well, we do, Ron. See, I'm a Scorpio, which is supposed to be the world's greatest lover. Now, there, I must say yes. You know, I believe Scorpios, men have the largest penises of everybody, and you know, I there's not much to disagree with there. They're very sensitive people. I am very, very sensitive. I hate to get injections in my arm. When I peel an onion, I cry. I cry like a baby peeling an onion. I do. That's my sensitivity. That's my sensitivity showing through. I will also cry. My eyes will tear up and turn red because I have allergies. So I am sensitive. You're absolutely right. I guess that does fall into place as well. I am a very sexual man. Some people who have been with me before, some of my prior girlfriends, will say, yes, that's true. The other half will say that's absolutely ridiculous. So I think that's a matter of opinion. I really do. I think sexuality is a matter of opinion. And it says a lot of other things about me. but some of them are true, some of them aren't. I mean, it's just you can tag anything with anything. It's like a newborn baby. You know, the babies that just come out, the fetuses, what do you call those things? And they come out of the mother. And there they are. They're like maybe half an hour old. How old are you? Half an hour. Oh, happy birthday. And what's the immediate reaction from the family members that come and visit you in the hospital room? Oh, he looks just like you. She's got your eyes. She doesn't have anybody's eyes. She's got the eyes of a small little fetus thing. That, I mean, doesn't look like anybody. If a random cleaning woman down the hall came in to clean the floors, you could literally say, oh, your baby looks a lot like the cleaning woman, and you'd probably be right. By the way, that's very sexist, what I just did, because there are also cleaning men in hospitals, but not so much. But it's true. You do see cleaning men every once in a while. It's sexist. I know. It's like on an airplane. You know, if you see a male stewardess, which they call a flight, they're not stewards and stewardesses anymore. They're flight attendants. They attend to your flight. They don't steward you. Nobody's named Stewart, although the guy may be named Stewart. I really don't know. I would just call him Stu. But they're flight attendants. When you see a male flight attendant, what's your immediate reaction? Seriously, and I'm not being disgusting. I'm not profiling or anything like that. I'm being word up with you. When you see a male flight attendant on a plane, what do you think immediately? Gay. You do. And that's wonderful. I think that's fantastic. When you see a female flight attendant, yeah, same thing, lesbian. I know. Yeah, that's what I feel too. Anyway, getting back to whatever I was talking about. And I don't even believe I was talking about anything. You know, I don't believe I was.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Welcome back to the program of enormous proportions. I'm Ron Van Dam. How you doing, Miss Bea? Well. We're going to speak to a few people today, if you don't mind. You don't have to stay with me. You really don't. If you want to go somewhere else, get a sandwich or something, help yourself. Maybe you have to go to the bathroom. You've been holding it in because you didn't want to miss a golden word from the mouth of Van Dam. So you've been holding in this thing, which, and by the way, never hold it in that long, because there could come the day where you try to get it out and it won't be there for you. And that's a horrible feeling. So as soon as you get the urge to go, you really should be going. I need to drink more. I've spent years drinking tons of water, and I go to the bathroom like continually. I'll have dinner on the toilet, because what's the difference? You know, eventually I'm going to end up there anyway, so why not eat there? And it's not a great idea, believe me. It's not a great idea, especially when you forgot the mustard. That's rough. But I used to pee continually. I'll tell you a funny story about my friend Mark Schepeta, and I don't think that he would be angry at me for saying this, telling you this story, because it's true, first of all, and secondly, it's funny, and third, he's a very honest, upfront person. He'd have no problem with me telling you this, but I suffer the same problem. He does, as most men do. Mark is a fairly young man. He's in his 40s, which is young. It's very, very young, and those of you that are in your 20s that think that 40 is old, just wait a little while, and you'll find out how stupid you were to say that when you were 20. How stupid and uninsightful that was to say. Never make fun of old people, because you, without question, will be in their shoes. Don't make fun of people that you will become, unless you die early in some type of horrific accident, which I don't wish upon you. You get my drift. Don't make fun of old people. Cherish old people, because you shall be in their shoes. Without question, you will be there. So shut your damn mouth. Anyway, 40's quite young. Mark's in his 40s. And he visits me sometimes here at the studio. And we'll sit down and we'll start talking. And within about 2 sentences, within about 10 seconds, Mark will get up and say, I got to use your bathroom. And he does. And I sit here and I twiddle my thumbs. And he comes back rather quickly, and he sits down, and we continue the conversation. So, Mark, tell me how you've been. Oh, I've been really good. Yesterday, I have to use your bathroom again. And he'll get up, and he'll go to the bathroom. He spent no more than like 30 seconds with me, and now he's got to go again. And he goes to the bathroom, and he comes back, and he sits down, and he says, Mark, and he says, yeah, I'm drinking a lot of water. It's an important thing to do. I drink like 20 gallons of water a day. And it's really great. And I find that when I do drink, hold on, I got to run to the bathroom, be right back. And he's gone again. This happens. He spends more time in my bathroom than he does sitting in a chair talking to me. And I pretty much say to him, Mark, when you come over, why don't we just talk in the bathroom? Because it'll be a little echoey, but at least we'll have more time. And again, don't kid about things like that, because it will happen to you. I believe the recommended dosage of water per day is 27 gallons. I believe that is it. I think it's 27 gallons. It's about the equivalent of drinking a swimming pool every day, minus the chlorine that supposedly is not great for you. But the water is. I guess it flushes out your system and then some. I think I've lost a few organs in the process. They got flushed out by a mistake because they weren't attached real well. I don't know. I've got a feeling. All right. We do have a few people to talk to today. I hope you don't mind. But part of this program, besides being entertaining, besides me being your little puppet comedian, we also provide information by the Information Act of 1927, provided by Congress, paragraph 17. Oh, it's very, very important. It's very, very important. I was talking about the babies before, how they look like everybody. Everybody says, oh, the baby looks exactly like you. And no, not really. No, that's ridiculous. You're making connections that don't exist. I get it, but you're making connections that don't exist. Anyway, we're talking about that. Let's talk about a baby's skin, which is, have a connection to a new baby. I've got a new baby in my midst. Am I a father now? No. Am I a grandfather? Not necessarily. Maybe not. I'm not going to tell you. You don't know me. Let's talk about a baby's skin. I think it's important. Don't you? I do. Why not? We talked about everything else. I don't think I talked about baby skin yet. Have I? Well, if you have a new baby, and this is kind of a follow-up from Mother's Day, if you're a mother, you probably had a baby because that's why they would call you a mother, I suppose. And I don't think people know about baby skin. And I found out something that the way that you treat your skin when you're a baby, when you're a child, directly correlates to any skin problems that you have when you're a senior. And I'm not talking about a senior in high school. I'm talking about a senior like when you're in your 60s. The way you treated your skin when you were a child comes back at you. And I thought, this is phenomenal. That nobody tells you this until it's too late.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
Hi. Great. I'm fine. This is Dr. Diane Hess. She's a pediatrician and medical director of Gramercy Pediatrics. She's also featured on CBS This Morning, NY1, and other programs as well. Now she's on this one. This is the pinnacle of her career.
Exactly.
Thank you. We're talking about how to protect your baby's skin, and not only are you a pediatrician, but you're a mom. I think you know that.
Yes.
Yep. You know, I'm confused because there are so many, you know, when you have a child, an infant, you hear like opposing viewpoints on how to take care of certain situations. So I'm glad I'm talking to you. Yeah, it's true. So
yes, and then there's Dr. Google. But
everyone
knows better than all of us.
That's correct. Donald Trump would go with Dr. Google. Anyway, I don't know what side you're on, so I won't even start that. All right.
You'll have me back.
Okay, fine. I mean, I'm watching out for my skin. I go to a dermatologist. At a certain age, you go to a dermatologist, and they tell you that, you know, your skin condition is an effect of what you did as a young child, how you treated your skin when you were, like, you know, infant and young child. And I go, what? I don't understand that. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, yes, because we definitely for sun exposure, that's 100% true. So, you know, we always recommend that you keep your baby in the shade as much as possible. And if they're out in the sun and being exposed, to have a hat on their head, to try to keep them covered in like loose cotton clothing. And if they, you know, if they're in a bathing suit, of course, or running around in the park, you know, in shorts and a t-shirt, to have a good hypoallergenic sunscreen on their skin to prevent, you know, melanoma later on in life. Yes. And to keep their skin from wrinkles, sunburns, definitely.
So what you do at that age actually affects what happens like 50 years from now. That's
right. Oh, yeah.
That's,
you know, I can see patients that come in with all this freckling all of a sudden. They'll be at sleepaway camp and, you know, the counselors forgot to remind them to put on their sunscreen, you know, 3 times or 4 times a day after you bathe, after you swim, you know.
When I was growing up, I mean, people just went to the beach and they just basted themselves like turkeys all the time and never thought a thing about it. But that's not good, huh? Not a good thing.
No, my mom used to give me baby oil and a reflector.
Yeah. Is baby oil actually effective? It's itself baby oil?
Oh, to attract the sun, you get cooked. Yeah. I mean, not to prevent any, you know, if you want the major sun damage, go for the baby oil. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. See, it's everything that nobody knew. Oh, my God.
Yeah. We blame it all on our parents.
All right. So, is a baby's skin, obviously, you know, later in life that can be affected, but can it cause problems as an infant?
Yes, definitely. So we see, you know, we see kids getting eczema and rashes all the time. It's probably one of the most common reason for pediatric visits.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really, as a pediatrician, I feel like you have to be proactive. You know, a lot of parents don't really know about this, you know, so you say, oh, what are you using on your baby's skin? Are you overbathing them? Because a lot of parents have this routine that they bathe their kids every night, and often that's not a good thing because they wash off the natural oils of the skin.
Uh-huh.
So we recommend that they keep the baths very brief if they are very dirty, and not to do this like extensive 20-minute, half-hour bath time, because it actually can cause eczema instead of preventing it. And then we recommend that the kids moisturize, you know, once or twice a day with a good hypoallergenic baby lotion.
Uh-huh.
And then, especially like in the summer when they're in chlorine pools, their skin gets really dried out. And then, of course, I recommend that we use Dreft on all their clothes before they go out, even when they're brand new, because they've been sitting in those boxes or in storage sites for a long time, to wash the baby's clothes in a good hypoallergenic detergent such as Dreft. It's been, you know, trusted for over 80 years.
Uh-huh.
It's really good for babies with eczema. A lot of babies are very sweaty and they have heat rash, and the Dreft minimizes the pilling of the clothing.
Oh.
So it's really nice on a baby's skin, and it has a great baby smell.
Oh, so that makes a difference too, what you wash the clothes in.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. The harsh chemicals on clothes
uh-huh.
can really be irritating to a baby's skin. Dryer sheets can be very irritating to a baby's skin. So,
uh-huh.
yeah, you know, things that you might not think of, all of a sudden now you have a baby, you're like, oh, I can't just throw their clothes in with my clothes.
Right.
Also, Dreft makes a second stage for active babies, like toddlers,
mm-hmm.
and it's very good on, like, grass stains and mud and food spills, things like that.
Okay. I didn't know that made a difference. Okay. I guess it does. You're right. I mean, there's chemicals in the stuff that doesn't completely work.
You know what?
Out.
Oftentimes people are not aware of it until their babies get a rash,
yeah.
and then they're like, oh, I wish I knew this beforehand. I would have done this.
Huh.
But some of our patients were raised on Dreft. They said, oh, I use Dreft because, you know, my parents use Dreft for me, and I love that
yeah.
smell. So,
well, that's because
like
you're used to it. You should get the Dreft cologne.
I know. Well, you know what, people? When I use Dreft, I'm not joking. I'm not making this story up.
Yeah.
I use Dreft so much. My cousins, like, love to come to our house, and they always go and smell my clothes and towels. So I wash everything in Dreft. I do. I'm a maniac.
So people always say, oh, you smell wonderful. It's Dreft.
Yeah.
It's Dreft.
And they make Dreft Blissfuls that is just like these little pearls that you could put in the laundry when you're using, if you're using an adult laundry detergent, and it just makes it have that nice baby smell.
Yeah.
It's really psychological. Like when you pick up a baby and you hug them and you smell, they're like, oh,
yeah.
that baby smell. I mean, there's nothing better than that, I think.
Right.
That's probably why I'm a pediatrician.
And that's the reason you're a pediatrician.
That's the reason, the baby smell.
Okay, how do we get more information?
If you go to the website, www.dreft.com.
Okay.
There's cool. a lot of helpful tips for parents there.
Very good. Yeah, it's good to know that, because babies get rashes and things, and it could be something like that. You're not doing the right, you're not doing the clothes.
Yeah, sometimes
right
they're just like overdressed and very sweaty, and
yeah.
you know, they come in like a lot of times with a rash on the back of their neck,
yeah.
on their upper back, and that's usually from sweat, and then if you have the wrong detergent on their clothes, it'll just be very irritating to them.
Okay.
And Dreft has something that takes off the pilling of the clothes, so they're
yeah.
not so rough, and it's really soft, and it helps.
Okay. So when you're a baby, a pediatrician, not dermatologist?
No, I'm a general pediatrician. I see kids from the day they're born until they go off to college, and sometimes when they come back
really?
From college.
Really? All the way up to college?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I have 24-year-old patients that are like, okay, now you have to find a grown-up, you know, an adult internist.
Wow. Are they still breastfeeding?
Yes.
I mean, my God.
I hope not. Maybe they're breastfeeding their babies.
Right. Or whatever. Okay.
But I like to see adolescents. Not every pediatrician does, but I like to see them until
yeah.
they get more complicated. I'll see them. Yeah.
Cool.
I love it.
Cool. Okay. Hey, great talking to you.
Thank you.
Diane Hines. Thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Yeah, there's nothing like doing an interview and screwing up her name at the end of the interview. That's what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Nothing, pretty much. That's weird, isn't it, that you can see a pediatrician up to, like, through college? I mean, I think that's just wrong. I mean, I'm sure she's happy to see you as a doctor, but as a patient, that's just kind of, like, wrong. That's not right. I'll tell you a secret about myself. I'll whisper it because I don't want anybody to hear it, but I was never breastfed. My mother told me that I was not breastfed. Well, she said at least it wasn't her breasts, and I was a bottle baby. That's what they call me. I'm a bottle baby. I drank, I think it was gin and tonic, when I was, that was in the bottle. My mother switched bottles on me. It was supposed to be her bottle, and she gave it to me by mistake, apparently. I was a bottle baby. I drank formula 51 or something, or formula 409 or something, formula, some kind of formula. And, I don't really even like milk, to be honest with you, anymore. I don't, I put a little bit of milk in my cereal because that's what it says to do on the box, but, that's in the directions. But I'm not a milk guy. But I was a colicky baby. My parents told me I was a colicky baby, which means that I had a lot of gas, and I have a lot of gas to this day. Too much information, but I guess when you're colicky, you always feel like you have to burp and you have gas and stuff like that. And I guess I was colicky. I was a difficult baby. They called me difficult. I was not easy. I was difficult. I caused a lot of problems. I caused a lot of psychological problems inflicted upon my parents because of my nature of screaming and crying continually from the time I was delivered from the womb to the time that they kicked me out of the womb in my house. It was apparently quite colicky and fussy. Fussy is such a mild word for a baby who cries and screams. They must have, yeah, it was fussy. He was a fussy baby. Fussy. That's fussy. That's not the word for fussy. I was not fussy. I was awful. I was just awful. And I don't know if it's because I was bottle fed or I think I cried so much my parents wanted to pillow feed me. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. My next guest is Monroe Martin. He's a comedian, I guess. I don't know. And Monroe was a foster child. Oh, poor baby. Oh, what a foster child. We're talking about foster care because May is National Foster Care Month. Did you know that? Yes. I thought it was National Lamp Day, where we honor the lamps that we turn on and off when it gets dark outside. I think it's June is National Lamp Day. And I believe National Lamp Month, it has a whole month. August is Toothbrush Replacement Week. It's the second week of August is Toothbrush Replacement Week. Oh, I'm watching TV. This is so funny, and I say this because I'm going to malign a company. I'm watching a commercial, and it takes place at a baseball game, and I don't know which stadium it is. It's kind of generic, and all of a sudden, the umpires stop the game, and coming in from center field is a guy wearing a red shirt holding a large pizza box running toward the dugout. And then it says on the scoreboard, it's Papa John's, it's pizza delivery time. And it's Papa John, this guy, John Papa, whatever the fuck his name is, this Republican fascist. And he's running out with a pizza. And then on the scoreboard, it says Papa John's pizza is the official pizza of Major League Baseball. And I'm saying to myself, I don't understand this. What the hell does pizza have to do with Major League Baseball? It's the official pizza.
it doesn't mean that anybody who plays professional baseball has to eat Papa John's pizza. It's a rule. You can eat whatever pizza you want. It's simply, as you probably know, if you're smart enough, it simply means that the Major League Baseball has made a financial arrangement with Papa John's Pizza, where they will become, quote unquote, the official pizza, which means absolutely nothing, but Papa John pays the Major League Baseball for the title of being the official pizza, which is absolutely stupid. And I think anybody in their right mind would say to themselves, that is nothing but a financial arrangement. Am I supposed to actually think that if I watch baseball, then pizza is what the baseball players eat? Papa John's pizza is what the baseball players eat. Don't be so stupid. It's like Jordan's Furniture, which is a furniture company in Massachusetts and in New England, is the official furniture company of the Boston Red Sox. That doesn't mean that every Boston Red Sox player must buy their furniture from a Jordan's Furniture store. It means absolutely nothing. What it means is Jordan's Furniture has paid the Boston Red Sox organization in order to have the title of official furniture store. It means absolutely nothing at all, other than there's been a financial arrangement for payment. Please don't be so stupid as to think that, oh my goodness, Papa John's pizza, that's what all the baseball players eat. Don't be so stupid. Please. Don't be stupid. All right, Monroe Martin is here. He was in foster care when he was a kid. Hey, Monroe, how are you?
Hello.
Hello. Monroe Martin.
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. Monroe has been on Comedy Central, Netflix, and you might even remember him from Last Comic Standing on NBC. Good to talk to you. How's everything going?
Yeah.
Good. Fine. Good. Well, we already did that.
Great, man. Can't complain.
Well, all right. Well, you can. You can complain. It would be your routine. But no, we don't have time for that.
No, I don't complain at all in my act. I just talk about what I just talk about life.
Yeah. And it's interesting because your life might be a little bit different than others, or maybe somebody can connect to your past. We're talking about the fact that this is foster care week, month, care week, care month,
and foster care month, month yeah, of May, amendment, care month, yep.
Right? And you have a connection to that apparently in real life.
Yeah, I grew up in foster care.
Uh-huh.
So you know, I am part of that community.
Yeah, and you actually do that information in your act.
Yep, I talk about my life, and that just so happens to be a part of my life.
Yeah. Do people respond in a certain way to that, or what?
Yeah, well, you have a negative. They respond in the way they should. I make sure that I do a good job of, when I bring it up,
yeah,
that I do not try to make you feel bad or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to make you laugh.
Right,
and I give them the information that I need to mm-hmm. make them laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, some people walk away feeling yeah. closer to. Yeah.
And so this is about people connecting. Really, it's about those that go through foster care or enter into foster care and in helping out. And in taking on a child, it's everybody feels like they're grouped together, that they're not the only ones involved.
You're not the only one involved.
Okay. I thought you fell asleep for a second, which happens when people listen to this show. There are a lot of people in the United States that that fall under this this category, though.
Yes. Those other those people who are in kinship care. There are people yeah. In group homes. There are people who are adopted and stuff like that.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things in the umbrella.
Would you consider your foster care life successful in that vein or struggle?
Wait, what do you mean? Like the outcome or
yes.
What I was going through?
Well, what you were going through.
Well, what I was going through at the time was I bounced around a lot. I dealt with a lot of ups and downs of the system.
Okay.
You know, I lived with people that made me regret being in the situation I was in. And then I lived with people who made me feel like, you know, I'm fortunate and I'm lucky. So I had a very mixed experience.
Right.
But as an adult, I look back and I take all those experiences as a positive one.
Yeah. Monroe, why do you think that you turned to comedy, became a comedian?
That's just who I am, a comic. Like, I didn't choose comedy, it chose me.
I gotcha.
You know, I'm a natural. Some people are just funny, but some people are funny in a different way. And I think, I'm not bragging, I think I'm just funny in a different way, which was that stand-up comedy way.
Yeah.
Because I was funny to my friends, but I took that, and I'm funnier to a lot of different people.
Yeah. Is there a message that you intentionally or unintentionally are putting out to the audience?
Unintentionally, I think my message is we all go through stuff,
mm-hmm.
and we all can be better in the end of it. We're all just trying to connect with each other. You know, we spend a lot of time trying to separate and trying to find reasons to not relate to each other.
Yeah.
But with my comedy, I make sure that I try my best to let people know, hey, look, we're all the same no matter what you're going through. We're all put on this earth to be the best we can be. And then intentionally, I want people in my situation or who have been in a situation to realize that, you know, don't hold on to the past. Just use it as fuel to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And I make sure that I tell my friends that all the time. You can always be better. You can always make it better for somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a life situation as well that enters into a lot of different things that one goes through in life. Now, this is the fourth annual Fostering the Future campaign. Tell me about that campaign.
Yeah, this is the fourth annual Fostering the Future campaign. This is my first time being involved in it, and I'm so glad that I did. We're trying to get 2 million hits on social media. Not too many people know that this is National Foster Kid Month. Yeah. Like I said, I was a foster child, but I didn't know we had an entire month.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to take advantage of that and spread the word and raise awareness to that. People can get involved by visiting fosteringthefuture.com.
Mm-hmm.
We want the hashtag #FosterTruth to be trending, and we want people to feel to get involved. You know, a lot of people don't know how to get involved, and there's many ways to get involved. We want to raise awareness to Fostering the Future who don't know what's up.
Mm-hmm.
We also want people who are interested in being foster parents to actually take that jump. Just
great.
Like Steve Harvey said, jump and just do it. You'd be changing somebody's life. And if you feel like being a foster parent isn't for you, then just support children's rights. You know, they're doing their best to reform the foster care system that are failing a lot of kids.
Yeah. Perfect. Well said. If I wanted to follow your career, Monroe, where would I go?
You got so many things. You got Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, my website. It's all Monroe Martin III. That's Monroe Martin, III.
Mm-hmm.
People think it's Monroe Martini, but I don't drink. It's just the third.
I do. Okay.
Right. Yeah, you can do that. I'm not against it. Do your thing.
Okay. Hey, it's been fun talking to you and good information and plenty of places to go, not only to follow yourself, but to get involved in Fostering the Future campaign. Monroe, continued success to you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, man.
Take care.
Have a great one.
Take care. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time for today, but I'll be back tomorrow with more program. Until then, I wish you peace.